I'm going to call this meeting of the House Early Childhood and Family Supports Committee to order for Tuesday, May 16, 2017. I'm going to open an informational hearing on culturally specific early learning. We have two panels. So Carmen, Charles, and Kaylee are in the first panel, I believe. If you just come forward and speak in whichever order you would like to speak, and just identify yourself for the record before you speak. Thank you.
Thank you, and good afternoon, Chair Lively. My name is Carmen Rubio from Latino Network. And good afternoon, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Carmen Rubio, and I'm the Executive Director of Latino Network. And we are a Latino-led and Latino-serving organization founded in 1996. We're dedicated to providing transformative services for our youth, families, and communities in the areas of education, leadership, and family stability. We're here with some of our partners today to speak to you in support of a policy concept to create an early childhood equity fund to invest in culturally specific early childhood programs that are getting positive results for kids and families of color in Oregon. And as you know, Oregon's demographics are rapidly changing and diversifying. Over 35% of all babies born in Oregon are children of color. And in five counties, the majority of children 0 to 5 are children of color. However, the state's early learning system doesn't yet have a mechanism to intentionally invest in programs that are designed by communities of color with the specific strengths, needs, cultures, and experiences of those communities at the foundation of their work. And Juntos Aprendemos, a program of Latino Network, is an example of how culturally specific organizations have been providing services to fill this gap and getting amazing results. Juntos is a parent-child early literacy learning program grounded in our rich cultural traditions, languages, and values. And in this program, 3 to 5-year-olds and their parents come into their neighborhood school once a week, where we provide parent-child activities, a family reading circle, preschool-like classes for children, and training workshops for their parents. And at the end of the 30-week program, we consistently find through our program evaluations that 90% of children make measurable gains in kindergarten readiness skills, and that 90% of parents report significant changes in family literacy activities and parent engagement. This program has been successfully preparing Latino children for kindergarten and supporting Latino parents as their first teachers and strongest advocates for 17 years. Yet our current early learning structure is limited to a small number of prescriptive program models and does not include a mechanism for programs like ours to access state funding to support this important work. And this is why we're here today. This is why we need an early childhood equity fund. And the fund will make grants available to culturally specific organizations with demonstrated results for children, young children, and families of color. And this is an important aspect of the fund. An important aspect of the fund is that grants will not be restricted to a specific program model. Rather, it leaves room for community self-determination and cultural fit. The Early Childhood Equity Fund concept is endorsed by the Children's Institute, Children First for Oregon, and the Coalition of Communities of Color, and numerous other respected organizations. We've been diligently working with partner school districts and nonprofit organizations to advance this inclusive concept and have invited a few of our key partners to speak with you today. In closing, I want to thank Chair Lively and the committee for giving us the opportunity to share this important work and hopefully earn your support for it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Kali Thorne-Ladd, and I guess that's for the record, but I'm the executive director of Kairos PDX. Kairos PDX is a nonprofit based in Portland that is focused specifically on eliminating opportunity and achievement gaps. And we provide trauma-informed and culturally specific care to children and families. We were born out of a recognition that there is an achievement gap that's been persistent for decades, not just years, but decades here in Oregon. And there's data that shows that we have over-representation of African-American youth in discipline as early as preschool. We have over-representation oftentimes in special education, and we have under underachievement or overrepresentation and sort of low achievement. And so we wanted to be a response to this issue that the data bears out. When you look at the archive of actualities, they do tell a story about grossly inequitable educational ecosystem. And it starts in early childhood, and it continues to expand as children get older. We have an opportunity, I believe, to tell a new narrative, and I think organizations like Kairos and my colleagues here from Latino Network and Black Parent Initiative, we are doing the work to create the change that needs to happen, and we're starting young because we know that children are building brains and the foundation of their brains are being built in these early years. And so we want to offer the type of care that children need and their families need to help support them along their educational journey. So I'm here today to support the Equity Fund, believing that we need to be strategic, we need to be intentional, and we need to be culturally responsive and trauma-informed. And I think all of the organizations that are engaged in this work right now are these things. And we need funding to focus on this area. I believe that taking this opportunity is an opportunity for everybody in this room and the state at large to lead in ways that other states can look at and learn from. So I hope that you, and I encourage that you will consider this equity fund as we move forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Charles McGee. I'm from the Black Parent Initiative, and first I want to thank you all for your service and the hard work that you do. You know, anyone who reads the Oregonian knows that this session's been interesting. You know, I think there are three things that really encouraged me about this effort. So one, it's communities coming together and saying that we want to partner with the state. And we want to do it in a way that's intentional. And we want to do it in a way that recognizes that we understand our communities. And we know what's happening in our communities. And we know the touch points. Second thing is we recognize the moment. And we recognize the time. And we recognize that at some fundamental level, we don't have much time to waste. And so we want to do together. Thirdly and lastly, I every time I walk in a room and I see Representative Hack, it kind of warms my day. She's one of my favorite folks in here. We also recognize that. Well, so.
I was about ready to say nice things about you.
You were my legislator.
Hey, hold on.
And Rep. Bynum is amazing. You know, I love everyone.
Good job, yeah.
I didn't let you finish.
Oh, I'm offended.
Right? You were getting there.
What about Malmstrom?
Yeah, yeah. Getting there.
A lot of good friends.
But truthfully, he was getting there. We got
you. I called out Rep. Hack in particular is because I think there's some stuff that she and I've worked on, and we build an amazing relationship. And you would not probably expect, you know, a Black guy from Portland working with a legislator from the
You
Salem
can say
area.
It a white chick from Salem. Okay.
You said
I You and I, we roll that way.
Right. But there's something in this moment that sort of calls us. I think, you know, we think about Oregon and we think about what we love about this state. And that's what that's about. It's about the ability of people to put aside parties, put aside crazy times, and recognize that our kids are a reflection not only of us, but a reflection of the decisions we make. And this is why this is important, and this is why we drove down here to look at our friends in the eye and say, this is time for us to step up and do good work on behalf of all of Oregon's kids. So thank you all for your work. Thanks to Latino Network for their leadership in pulling us together. And we're excited to see this bill get signed. Mm-hmm.
So does anybody know, was there before this session, has there been an attempt to set something like this up at the state level?
I don't.
No. No.
Before this?
Before
no.
this? No.
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 And I should have also mentioned, I'm on the Early Learning Council for the state of Oregon, and I think we are at a moment of time when you look at early childhood, now that we have the system starting to be set up to support early learning, I think there is a renewed focus on early childhood development at the state level. And so I think exciting things are happening, and it gives the right foundation for this type of work to happen.
Yeah, you're right. We're really in the formation of the the department and all this, we're at that time that we can really now focus where we can be the most successful and strategic with the investments. And so you're absolutely correct.
Chair, can I ask
you? Representative Kenny Geyer.
Thank you. So you could probably guess that I'm enormously enthusiastic about your goal and about the need to target our investments where most needed, whether we do that when it comes to sometimes rural areas, veterans, a whole variety of things. And the data is very, very clear about the gaps that exist. So I'm just curious about how you see this rolling out. If you could give us any more ideas behind the vision, what percent would it be? Would this get decided on locally? What would the decision-making structure be? Are you going to try to have, you know, measure apples to apples in terms of measurement? Just any of the thinking that you've done around this, I'd be curious to hear.
So for that, I'll invite Sadie up to give more detail.
Thank you, Chair Lively and Representative Kenny Geyer. For the record, my name is Sadie Feibel-Holmes. I'm here with Latino Network. And what we were envisioning as our hope for this biennium, just in our thinking to date, was an investment of $5 million in the fund as a place to start. We would certainly like to see that investment grow over time. We envision a rulemaking committee to help figure out some of the logistics of how the grant making would happen. But in general, I think what we would like to see is organizations with a demonstrated track record of outcomes for young children and their families that we know are aligned to kindergarten readiness and family stability in communities of color that are delivered by and developed by communities of color. We know that there are organizations in Oregon, some of whom are here today and others who don't yet have a seat at the table, who have been founded by their own community, and we'd like to create the space to formally bring them into the system.
Anything further? Thank you, Sadie. And thank you all for your testimony. So the next panel, Amanda Perry and Magdalena.
Hi, thank you for having me today. Chair Lively, members of the committee. My name is Amanda Manhattis, and I'm the Advocacy Director for the Coalition of Communities of Color. The Coalition is an alliance of 19 culturally specific community-based organizations with representation from the Latino community, the African American, Native American, Asian and Pacific Islander, African, Slavic, immigrant, and refugee communities. We work collectively to advance racial equity through advocacy, leadership development, and by providing culturally specific community-based research to identify issues facing our community and to elevate the lived experiences of communities of color. The policies that we endorse as a coalition aim to address racial disparities, institutional racism, and inequity in services. So today I'm here to speak on behalf of the coalition and express our strong support for creating an early childhood equity fund to invest in culturally specific early learning. We all know it's important to invest early to set strong foundations for a child's future learning. We also know that families across Oregon with diverse cultural and linguistic needs don't often have access to programs designed to meet those needs. From 2010 to 2004, in partnership with PSU, the coalition released a series of reports called Unsettling Profiles, which found that children of color in Multnomah County were experiencing significant disparities in access to preschool education. The report also found that even when children of color were involved in early childhood programs, they were still perceived as being less prepared for kindergarten than their white counterparts. You've heard from some community leaders today about the incredible impact their work is having in culturally specific communities. I also want to mention another one of our members, the Native American Youth and Family Center, who weren't able to make it today, but who are having significant impacts in the Native American community. Our primary concern is that the state doesn't currently have a mechanism to invest in these organizations who have proven outcomes. We believe creating this type of fund is the right next step toward extending better opportunities to every child in Oregon. We also understand that this is a very challenging budget year, but the persistent disparities in outcomes for children of color tell us we can't afford to wait. It also underscores the opportunity for a new narrative, as Kali mentioned. The state has expressed its commitment to equity and excellence for every child. Now, what we do to hold ourselves accountable to those commitments matters. You've heard today about some of the effective culturally specific models that could be expanded on to address the opportunity gap in culturally specific communities. We hope you'll join us in our collective efforts to advance racial equity by supporting the creation of this fund. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak today. Thanks.
Thank you.
Chair Lively and committee, thank you so much for having me here today. My name is Karen Twain, and I'm the Assistant Superintendent of the Tigard Tualatin School District. I've been in education for over 30 years in a variety of roles, including working at the state for a year and a half where I was the Director of Early Literacy. At that time, our state superintendent, governor, and I proposed a plan to have all students in Oregon reading by third grade. The plan had several components, but one of the most important was the partnership we wanted to create between schools and culturally specific community-based organizations. While the bill didn't pass due to funding shortfalls, I and many of my colleagues from K-12 knew what could make a difference for our young learners. I came back to my district with that information and immediately made contact with Latino Network. We set up an agreement that they would come into one of our schools and work with that school's community of Latino 3 to 4 year olds and their families. I can tell you that we have never had a more successful program in our district with a high return on investment. I know we will continue to realize the investments and the dividends over time. And here are some of the results. So for the child outcomes, and remember these are 3 and 4 year olds getting ready for kindergarten, 95% of the children increased their ability to recognize written letters. 100% of the children demonstrated the ability to recognize their name in writing. 95% of children demonstrated the ability to recognize and name their first initial. 90% of children increased their ability to recognize written numbers. 90% of the children were able to count to 10 or higher, or increase their ability to count. Remember when they came in, it was pretty much at zeros. The parent outcomes were equally impressive. 95% of the parents report increased knowledge about kindergarten. 100% of parents report reading more frequently with their children. 88% of the parents report reading with their children at least 3 times each week. And 100% of the parents report engaging in more learning, early learning activities with their children at home. We have now added that program, Juntos Aprendemos, at another one of our schools. And this year, not surprisingly, they are experiencing incredible success with their families and students. Needless to say, we would like to have this in every one of our schools, but funding continues to be the issue. We are pulling from our district general fund and trying to access grants, but there's simply not enough money to access this invaluable resource. We're only in our second year of the program at 2 schools, and we see the immediate results. We know that as we continue with our partnership with Latino Network, we will have improved graduation rates, better attendance, and stronger relationships with families. And I want to stop there and say that again. We will have improved graduation rates, better attendance, and stronger relationships with families. And that's what we've been trying to do as a district, and I know in the state overall. We can literally see the third grade reading benchmark within reach because of our work with this early learning program. In this slide, I would like to throw my district's full support of the establishment of the proposed Early Childhood Equity Fund. We absolutely need funding for culturally specific early learning programs. If we are serious about closing the opportunity and achievement gaps in Oregon, this is the perfect starting place. And I am super honored to be with one of my parents from one of our schools here today.
Thank you.
Buenas tardes al presidente del comité y a los miembros del comité. Gracias por la oportunidad de compartir mi experiencia con ustedes. Mi nombre es Magdalena Torres y participo en el programa Juntos Aprendemos de Latino Network con mi hijo de 3 años.
Good afternoon, Chair Lively and members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to share my experience with you. My name is Magdalena Torres, and I participate in the Juntos Aprendemos program at Latino Network with my 3-year-old son.
Yo me siento muy orgullosa de poder formar parte de un programa como Juntos Aprendemos porque me ha ayudado mucho con mi hijo Rodrigo. En el programa practica mucho sus habilidades académicas, motoras. Ha aprendido a cortar con tijeras, sabe su abecedario, sabe muchas palabras, los colores y los números.
I feel very proud to be part of a program like Juntos Aprendemos because it has helped me so much with my son, Rodrigo. In the program, he practices and develops his academic and fine motor activities. He has learned how to cut with scissors. He knows his alphabet. He knows lots of words, colors, and numbers.
Yo me siento muy contenta de que este programa haya llegado a nuestra comunidad y nuestra escuela porque mi hijo ha progresado mucho en las áreas del aprendizaje académico, el vocabulario y el compañerismo.
I feel very happy that this program has come to our community and our school because my son has advanced a lot in the areas of academic learning, vocabulary, and socialization.
Como madre, yo me siento muy orgullosa de que a su corta edad yo lo veo como un niño pequeño, pero como si fuera un niño grande, porque ya sabe mucho. Me da mucho gusto estar ahí a su lado, acompañándolo y ver su crecimiento en cuanto al aprendizaje.
As a mother, I feel very proud that at his young age, I see him as a little boy, but it's as if he were a big boy because he knows so much. It brings me much joy to be there by his side, to join him in the program and see his growth and learning.
Como mamá, me siento con más confianza de recomendar el programa e invitar a más familias a participar. Sé de mi propia experiencia que los niños cuando empiezan a temprana edad a aprender lo básico de la escuela tienen un fundamento fuerte para comenzar bien en el kinder y van a tener un gran éxito y un gran futuro.
As a mom, I feel confident to recommend this program and invite other families to participate. I know now from my own experience that when children start learning at a young age the basic skills they need for school, they have a strong foundation to start kindergarten, and they are going to have great success, a great future.
Y por eso me siento muy orgullosa de poder poner un granito de arena para que todos estos niños tengan un gran futuro. Mi forma de pensar es que si tienen una base fuerte, una base sólida, de ahí van a construir su futuro en grande. Muchísimas gracias por su tiempo y atención.
And this is why I feel very proud to be contributing my grain of salt so that all of these children can have a great future. My way of thinking is that if they have a strong foundation, a solid foundation, from there they will build a wonderful future. Thank you for your time and attention.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To the pack.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Question, as it relates to the services that you're providing for families, obviously your son is learning English at school. What wraparound services are you providing for families to do the same so that what the children are learning in school and they're taking at home is also reinforced at home? And what are we doing to do that wraparound?
Okay. Chair Lively and Representative Hack, thank you. I'll answer, and if anyone else would like to contribute, they're more than welcome to. This particular program that Latino Network offers is conducted in Spanish, and that is intentional in that the research demonstrates that a strong foundation in native language literacy, particularly in the pre-reading skills and the early stages of literacy, transfers very effectively when children are then taught to read in English. In our program, they're learning basic letter recognition, letter sounds, story sequencing. It's very much pre-reading. And it's also intentional in that we know that at home, parents are going to be able to support that literacy development in their native language. So our program focuses on literacy development in Spanish and building parents' skills in Spanish. We, separate from this program, do offer adult ESL classes in some of our sites. And I don't know if there's anything more that the superintendent would like to share about what you've seen.
One of the power of the program is not only the learning that goes on with the children, but the parents are very involved. And so they're meeting at the same time that the kids are there as well, and become part of the school community, where we have heard many times over, for a lot of our Latino families, they've never felt engaged or know the, you know, how to take that first step going into the school. So these folks are already a part of the community, and we treat them as if, because they are, their first teachers. So they are going home and teaching that literacy. It's not just at school, but it's there. So it's very powerful. It so happens that Bridgeport, where her child is at, is a dual immersion school. So, and same with Metzger, where we have them. However, next year we hope to put it in Tualatin that isn't dual immersion. And what Sadie said is absolutely correct. The language translates right into English.
Can I follow up? Thank you. The key is obviously the connection between the families and the school and them feeling like that's their place. Mm-hmm. So I guess my concern would be just making sure or reiterating, I guess, that that continues to happen and that the classes are there for them to learn English and that we make that connection as they progress through the K-12 system, simply because that is a barrier, and you certainly don't want any barrier there for them to have those connections with other families and with other teachers, and because I think that honestly is, I mean, you're saying it. It's yeah. The, you know, them feeling like they can have that connection is the absolute key to the success of all of that. So I just wanted to make sure that that was happening on all sides. So
yeah, it's like a triage type Great. Situation, right? You have the family, the school, and of course the community-based organization all working together for the betterment of the kid. It's great. I mentioned in my testimony, we're very focused on return on investment in our district right now, and looking at how interventions run and all these kinds of things, our ELL program, and of all of the things, this has been the biggest.
Great, thank you.
Other questions? So I have go ahead.
So, first of all, Carmen, I really appreciate that Latino Network is right there in Gresham now in our with our greatest need, and I appreciate that you have made that even a stronger effort in my district, in my city. So I appreciate that a ton. And I am wondering, is there a bill attached to a money ask? Or
it was earlier, but we didn't move it.
Okay. So we need to see if we can move it?
Can't do it. We're past the deadline. That's the unfortunate part.
Okay, that is unfortunate. But we can work on it again.
Right.
All right. Thank you, and thanks for everybody for being here.
So the question I have has to do, we talk quite a bit on this committee, given the diversity in our state geography and otherwise, and hard task it is sometimes to reach some of the more rural areas. So I'd like to hear a little bit from your standpoint of this network and how that would work, because I'm sure there's rural parts of the state that have little if any organizations in place, but they would have a need in many cases to do that, and I don't know who could respond to how that works.
Sure. There's culturally specific organizations, there's culturally relevant organizations, and as you go more rural, out towards the country, this can be delivered in a variety of ways. It can come from churches. It can come anybody who seems to have an understanding. The power, of course, and we chose Latino Network because the bulk of our kids of color are Latino. And so that was the organization. In some places it's black. In some places, you know, it varies. So you want to get to whoever you can find in that area. We don't expect that Latino Network would be everywhere.
Right.
But you can pull people together and be very culturally relevant around the teaching and learning that goes on with families and kids. So you should be able to pull something together in that area. Yeah.
Could you just come back?
To go to them.
Sorry.
I have a loud voice. But
well, that's all right. Thank you.
I would add that, you know, the reason why the Early Learning Council and Division set up the Early Learning Hubs was to provide sort of aggregating force to bring together community organizations. And so what we find statewide is there are organizations. They're not all 501c3s. No. Some are more informal than they are formal, but hubs throughout the state are creating supports for children through churches and through other organizations to support children. So I do think they exist, and I actually think that the hub model allows for the distribution of funds and the evaluation and analysis of what's taking place. So that's going back to what I said earlier, we've kind of built that infrastructure that I think makes doing something like this possible.
Perfect answer. Thank
you. That's what they paid me for.
Nice.
Any other questions? Doesn't look like it. thank you all very much for coming. We look forward to continuing this discussion and seeing how we can make this happen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Lights. Anything else on this topic? So just hold this up, or shall I hit it and adjourn?
Hit it.
Oh. Okay, we'll adjourn.
Cool.
Okay, we'll adjourn.
Cool.
Hit
it.
Oh.